you have to be selective about who you share your idea with, right? But the thing is, ideas are also like plentiful and cheap, right? It's all on the execution. So there are folks that could take the same concept and try to do what you do, but they aren't you, and they can't operate or execute in the same ways that you can.
Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Why Y'all Working. I am your co-host, Michael Ogusanya.
I'm Alair J.
And a familiar face of the show, a great, awesome leader, and someone that we're really going to enjoy understanding her impact and the business behind her why. Erica Myers is here. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome.
Awesome. So this is going to be really informative for those listening. About a system that we've heard of, we've seen, whether it was a 90s movie down to some of the films that we understand today. Erica Myers is the CEO and founder of Fosterpreneur, a company with a number of team members largely focused on transitioning people who have gone through the foster care program, alumni as you use, and now want to start their own ventures, providing them the opportunity, the resources, and the connection to be able to grow their business. Please share a bit about what Fosterpreneur means to you and how you've been able to make an impact on that community.
Yeah, one of the things that like Fosterpreneur means so many different things. Like Fosterpreneur, I think of entrepreneurship as a vehicle that can really transform lives, families, communities, and beyond, right? And the beauty of entrepreneurship is that for the most part, doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter what your educational level is, doesn't matter where you come from, any of those things. You have an idea with the right execution, marketing, sales, you can do that. And the reason why entrepreneurship and supporting young people who've had the lived experience of being in foster care is because there's so many innate skills for entrepreneurship that foster care youth possess. Why do I say that? Many young people have had to navigate multiple systems as being forced from your home and having to deal with different social workers, different schools, different foster families. Like that's a huge skill that having to learn, like adapt to different situations really quickly. And as an entrepreneur, you have to be nimble. Like your idea, the first time you have that idea is not gonna look the same as you go through different iterations, and you have to be willing to pivot and all of those things. A lot of the young people that I've had the privilege of working with, not just through Fosterpreneur, but that I've worked with prior to Fosterpreneur, even the idea that I had, was they've been able to hustle and find ways to make money, whether it's been legal or illegal ways, like to be able to make money to take care of yourself. And like part of being an entrepreneur is having that hustler spirit. Not saying that you have to always be living on the edge, but like coming up with creative ways to do things when you don't necessarily have opportunities to do that. And I've seen that from doing different things tied to beauty, like from selling in schools, like knowing that I need money for this thing and I gotta come up with a way to do that. And there's been so, and when you're forced to have your back against the wall in that ways, like I've just seen so much creativity in that. Like I think about some of our Fosterpreneur graduates and I'm like, man, I don't think I would have been able to handle that the way that you've been able to handle that. It's like, oh, I got this bill due. Oh, I figured out how to figure this out. Like just under with a lot of pressure. So I think about those skills being prime for being able to navigate the complexities of being an entrepreneur.
I appreciate you saying that. And at what point did your, and I want to backtrack a little bit, at what point did your educational background and your purpose kind of help you found Fosterpreneur? I do want to, you know, touch on the founding of Fosterpreneur and how you kind of got into the foster space and what that actually, the impacts that you're making, how did you kind of find your niche to make the impact that you do today?
Really great question. So started off, I was taking an evaluation course at University of Miami. And part of that evaluation course, we had real life community-based organizations in Miami that we had to study them and work on a team to come up with evaluation. I happen to have chosen a group called Casa Valentina. Casa Valentina is a social impact organization in Miami that provides subsidized housing, life skills training, and development for young people who've aged out the foster care system. So I did this project for Casa Valentina with my team, and I walked up to the program director casually at the end of it, and I said, hey, I really love the work that you do. Like, if you have an internship or opportunities available, I'd love to work for you guys. And like 2 months later, she emailed me and said, we have money for an intern. You want to work for us? And I was like, yes, I do. And that was the catalyst for everything. I worked with young women, young moms, and young men. And their stories stuck with me. That's really where I was fully introduced, built so many relationships as a result of that. And I never felt a sense of purpose in anything that I'd done. The way that I felt a sense of purpose while I was started off as a intern and then was promoted to a program coordinator at Casa Valentina. And then I worked for another organization in South Florida called Educate Tomorrow that provides educational resources to young people who've aged out the foster care system, not just aged out, but in foster care and aged out the foster care system in Miami. And they were one of the first to help students, young people discover that there's tuition waivers for them to attend school for free who've been in foster care. So both the work at Casa Valentina and Educate Tomorrow was a catalyst for me while I was in Miami to continue to pursue the journey of supporting foster care youth. And then I mentioned earlier how I thought I was going to do policy and then came up with the idea of being in, of combining business and supporting foster care youth in that way.
Becoming an socialpreneur through kind of finding your niche by working with some nonprofits and stuff like that in that space is actually pretty interesting. Not many people would, I guess, kind of take that route to just leap as soon as they kind of figure out where they get their feet wet and they're like, well, fuck it, I'm going to do it. This is my journey and purpose. And now I'm just going to make this work regardless of whatever happens. I want to help these people whose stories have meant so much to me in terms of building my career and understanding where they come from so that way I can best impact them in the ways that I have the ability to do so. So appreciate you sharing. Michael, I know you had a couple of things that you would like to say.
Yeah, two questions. The first is fosterpreneur is, would you define that as a nonprofit or a social enterprise?
Yeah, so I like to use the term social impact org, which I got from Social Innovation Lab, Johns Hopkins, shout out right there. We are officially a 501c3. And the reason why I say social impact, because we're all about making an impact. And I mean, I could call us a social enterprise because that term is really loose because that is tied to what we do as well. But I like to use the word social impact because of just the foundation of the work that we do. Like, we're not just a 501c3. Like, I have countless examples of the transformative work that we do. So, and we have made a clear impact on the lives that we touched.
That makes a ton of sense because I know social enterprise mixes profit with impact. But you are producing people that are ready for the workforce, that are ready to make an impact, which aligns a lot with nonprofits, which are focused on, again, the social change, the impact that you can make within an organization. And again, shout out to SIL alum, you know, been through it. We benefited from it. I know there's some accelerators that are like boot camps, but SIL was definitely just a great way to be around really impactful people and learn the right material you need to grow.
Absolutely. The community is everything. Absolutely everything.
100%. I would love to know some of the dynamics. Going through and experiencing Casa Valentina and the other organization, what are some of the unique kind of dynamics of the foster care program? I know there's, I mean, state by state, it may vary. You're here in Baltimore. How do you look at the geographic lens of your work, and what experiences do you feel like is worth mentioning as notable in Southern Florida for people who've gone through the foster care program?
Yeah, so one of the things that when it comes to how my work started in South Florida with foster care was like there was a very strong concerted effort with Casa Valentina, Educate Tomorrow, where I worked, to make sure that foster care youth knew that they had access to certain resources. And sadly, broadly across the board, a lot of young people don't know the things that they have access to. Like, they don't know that if you graduate from high school, have your high school diploma, you can attend to any state institution in your state for free, for the most part, and like the benefits that come with that. Many young people don't know like what resources exist for them after they leave. So unfortunately, if you don't have a strong support system, whether that's a caseworker or independent care coordinator that's helping you navigate what it's going to be like when you exit at either age 18 or 21, it can be a very lonely process. So I like to liken it to, for those of us who go to college, right? When you turn 18, for the most part, if you go to college, especially if you go away to college, you know you still have your family. Like, you can call mom or dad or whoever, not always, right? But like, and ask them if you need support with something. Like, hey, I need money for this particular thing, right? Like, even though you're an adult, you still depend on your family a lot. And it's totally different when you're just like, hey, you're an adult, good luck. And it's like, oh, I got to make sure I have an apartment on my own and all of those things. I need to make sure my job can adequately cover what I need. Oh, wait, if I am in school and I am going to school and I am using the tuition waiver, what happens when the college dorm closes and I'm homeless and I don't have any place to go? So all of those things are very distinct and different experiences that can make or break you versus those who haven't had that lived experience, who still may have family and extended support that can help them navigate that. And it's a totally different experience from those who haven't.
Wow. I mean, a lot of that was super important. I mean, one, from, again, understanding that you can go to, I mean, there's so many schools within the state of Florida, let alone like Southern Florida, down to, you know, sometimes that Christmas break or that Thanksgiving break, that fall break isn't, you know, the amazing, you know, way to go home and get your laundry done for many people. And then as well, I mean, there's a program down to the caseworker, like you said, of it's maintaining those relationships to where what can make them really successful entrepreneurs, but also potentially having a cohort of people. I mean, by you introducing this thought of me completing this foster care program can be the beginning of something new, that can create a cohort method of how different people in that program can think about themselves, let alone think about how they can start businesses and have, you know, potential beta users all living within the same roof as them in that moment. So I started with the idea of community because I think that's such a key part of what you're doing. You are operationalizing community with Fosterpreneur, down to who you've met and how you've been able to build the social impact organization. I got that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Social impact. Yep.
Good stuff.
Thank you. My memory's sharp. And this is advice I'd love to for you to provide to social entrepreneurs. At what point do you have to open yourself up to community? Thinking about, you know, I want to build something for impact. Can you build something for impact being the person behind the strings, you know, making sure people get those opportunities? Where does being an open member, a community leader, become a benefit or potentially a detriment to building a social enterprise?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, you have to be selective about who you share your idea with, right? But the thing is, ideas are also like plentiful and cheap, right? It's all on the execution. So there are folks that could take the same concept and try to do what you do, but they aren't you and they can't operate or execute in the same ways that you can. So you have to, I know discernment is this, it's like, what does that really mean, right? But I'll speak for myself. So when I did have a concept of Fosterpreneur, I shared it with folks that, A, could help me do some research with it, like with friends who weren't necessarily in Baltimore, but others who I'm like, hey, I don't have access to like these research databases. Can you help me access them to see like if this exists or like what kind of things are out there already? And then, you know, I think about our Baltimore ecosystem. we have Equitech, we have all of these networking things where you can easily search people, right? You can connect with people, have conversations. And I feel like based off of your interactions with folks, you can determine of like, hey, I have this idea, you know, I want to share this. But I think that what's really important is that you have to have those conversations and be willing to put yourself out there. Like when I did it before, I was advised, oh, you know, you probably should do an NDA with stuff. And I did a little bit, but like I remember to this day, our head business coach, who's also our board chair, I shared Fosterpreneur with him and he's like, I'm not going to sign an NDA. And I was like, what? But I was okay with it. Like it ended up working out, right? Like he's like, I'm not going to take your idea. Like in his mind, and he also was a head MBA and is an attorney. He's like, you don't need to do this. So anyway, I say that just to say, you can determine like from your interactions with folks of what makes something safe to share and what's not, but you can't do it by yourself. Like no matter, you can look at any business, right? Even lots of people use the word self-made and like, I have mixed feelings about the word self-made, but like no one does anything alone. And the more you hold onto something and you're not willing to allow people to give to you and help you, because no matter how brilliant you are, like you don't have all the strengths or all the skill sets that are necessary to run any entity. You need a team. You have to be willing to open yourself up and share that and know that part of the process is like, you may have some good experience. You're going to have some bad experience. That's part of the experience.
And let's talk about you creating that community. You do have like a strong team of interns, of board advisors and advisors. And did that come through networking? Did that come through going to pitch events? For people, please, I'd love to understand that.
Yeah, you know, I feel like everything was really aligned for me. So when I came back to Baltimore in 2014, I had not been in Baltimore since I went away to college. So at this point, I hadn't really lived in Baltimore since 2005. I was in Atlanta from 2005 to 2009, and pretty much was in DC and then left. I had a boyfriend at the time that was really well connected that we met shortly after I came back here. And he allowed me to tap into his network, which was really, really helpful. Just being fully transparent. Like, and he was like, I see your vision and I want to help support you with this. So he allowed me to like tap into his network, which was helpful. Could I have done it without him? Yes, I could have. It probably would have taken me a little longer. I would have to put myself out there and go, like, just be consistent a little longer.
No, you would have done it anyway.
But it was helpful that he's like, these are some folks that I think would be interested in what you are interested in pursuing. And that I had a warm connection because of his relationships to starting.
No, and that's usually how, you know, most entrepreneurs get started, right? I mean, there's a warm connection somewhere, whether it be boyfriend, mother, father, uncle, whoever, otherwise, right? So
that's also
important to note, too, that, like, I think a big part of it is that you can't be afraid to share your ideas with people because, you know, unfortunately, you're going to have the naysayers and you're going to have the yes men, but you're going to have those people that give you that good constructive criticism and feedback that are going to allow your idea to grow and flourish. And I think that you've done really well, even with the connections that you were given to start out with, because even from that connection, although you could have done it yourself, it expedited the process, right? Yeah. You're here now because of those movements that were made back then. And arguably you still did put yourself out there because you bothered to ask for those connections, right? Yeah. It's like you put yourself out there, however it may be, to one or to two to three people. And look what you have now. You have a team.
Yeah. It's you great. Know, so right. Like it starts with one.
For sure.
knows that. Yeah, literally.
Just for folks to know, like, don't be if like your partner, or in this case, like this was an ex-partner, like they can be some of the biggest sources of helping you grow. And like, it doesn't have to be anything that's bad, good, or whatever. Like, I just want to put that out there. So wanted to be transparent with folks.
For sure.
Appreciate that.
Let's do a bit of a pivot towards like kind of the end of our amazing conversation. Again, thank you so much for your time, Erica. One thing I'd love to understand, and I'm sure other people here could talk about, is what they perceive the foster care program as. There's some people who think, you know, it's this perfect, you know, steward of their tax dollars going into raising young people. Other people think it might be some of the worst, you know, ways that people have to experience some of their young adolescent lives. But what do you think are some misconceptions of the foster care system?
Yeah, you know, I've heard amazing stories, but I've also heard some horror stories, right? So there's a whole range. Unfortunately, I would say, just based off of what I've been exposed to, there are more not so great than great stories, right? There are some foster homes and some group homes that are very much like, we want to make sure that we're helping young people to the best of our ability. And then there are some families that are like, oh, we can get support, financial support to have a child in our house. You know, it can be a very varied situation. And I have, one of the things that I will say is, because of the fact that it can be so varied, like there are some folks that I know, because they had such a strong experience with, a great experience with that, with a foster parent, that allowed them to thrive. Whereas others, it gave them more of a chip on their shoulder and even more of an incentive to like be successful, to go and counteract the things that they experienced before. But I also have to acknowledge that there's a lot, foster care youth and youth who've aged out, like their life, they experience some of the most maladaptive outcomes that we don't want in society. They're exacerbated. So higher rates of incarceration, higher rates of teenage pregnancy, higher rates being high school dropout, higher rates of being homeless. So higher rates of just like seeking higher ed, all of those things. So those who push through are really, truly anomalies. And unfortunately, a lot of young people end up getting left behind. But it's really important. That's why I feel like Fosterpreneur is really important in other organizations that serve young people from like a holistic and like strengths-based approach are vital to ensuring that foster care youth are able to transition to adulthood with dignity and with the proper support and feeling like they can live fulfilling lives.
And thank you. I mean, thank you for being that person from day in and day out, committing to being a person in people's lives. Like, whether it's charity or other events, I've experienced and other people experience, like, you can do this and it can be for that feel. You can do it and you might not want to. And when I say feel, it's kind of that, you know, sometimes people do, you know, charity or people try and help people to feel better about themselves, but you are clearly committed to the work. And really appreciate you on behalf of Why I Work and for stepping into that and being confident. With Fosterpreneur, do you see this as a potential solution, both to positive foster homes and some that might have negative impacts on the children that are there? Do you see this as part of the solution? Do you see this as a way to, like we mentioned, create a community around more positive thinking? How do you think this, you know, plays a piece in the puzzle?
Yeah, so I think a little bit more on the like young adult and long-term side. So because we work with young adults who are from 18 all the way up through early 30s, I think of it as, okay, they're coming to us, they're out of the system, so we don't have to work through those bureaucratic elements. But what the work that we do is helping to ensure that young people who've had this experience, if they choose to have families, they don't have to worry about their children being placed in the system. So we're looking at it as a disruptor of, hey, yes, this may have been your experience, whether you were temporarily in foster care, adopted out of foster care, or exited the foster care system and were in the system the majority of your life. Your story doesn't have to be the same story for who's coming behind you.
Thank you. I mean, wow. I mean, thank you for sharing that. A disruptor. That, you know, those are the companies that change the world. Companies that disrupt, that create a seismic change in what we do every day. Allaire, I would love if you had any questions or just continuing on a thread.
Yeah, there's a lot of things here to touch on, frankly, because I had a couple connections, I guess, that I made from Erica explaining, I guess, the model of Fosterpreneur and like how it's kind of come to be. And I guess seeing those anomalies that actually make it out, right, and really do the damn thing, whether it be in entrepreneurship and or otherwise in a career professionally. Something that one of the things that it reminded me of in college, I actually was a part of a living learning community. They called it an LLC, funny enough. And one of the ideas that you kind of gave me, what Erica, was just, I don't know if you've thought about this, but like if you had your own, you know, foster care programs that were slated around creating entrepreneurs or socialpreneurs or even intrapreneurs, right? Like just all of the above, right? Finding a niche for each individual that kind of comes into your program that kind of fits them and then also develops entrepreneurship and businesses as a result of being that, you know, kind of social enterprise organization that you're trying to create, right? So you're not only making an impact on the personal, interpersonal level, but you also are creating an impact in terms of producing very high value add beings into the world, right? Regardless of whatever discipline or industry that they may be in. So that's kind of one of the ideas that I kind of just popped into my brain because I thought that that was just really interesting in terms of something that even me and Michael had spitballed about back into school where we were trying to start up our own student-led venture capital fund and kind of getting people educated on what is out there in terms of entrepreneurship and bringing that to UMBC. So definitely appreciate you. Thank you for sharing what you're doing with, you know, kind of the young bright stars of the world that may not have everything, but they're doing their damn best to try to make it work for themselves, regardless of the situation that they may be in, especially if they kind of come to you or organizations or people like yourself who are trying to make sure that they're doing the best to help them. So I definitely thank you for sharing that. One question that I did want to ask is, what is missing in your eyes right now from the system or from what you can't provide that you would love to provide to people in the future? Or if there is somebody out there that would be willing to imbue you with all the powers that may be or the money that may be, what is something that you feel would be helpful in terms of getting to that next level of making that impact even greater for yourself and the people that you're around?
Yeah, you know, I would say, oh, there's so many things that are missing. But when I think about at least the foster care system, I particularly with those who are about to leave, I would say more intentionality behind helping young people develop their strengths and understanding like, hey, I recognize this in you and this is what you should pursue versus, hey, good luck. Here's all these things. Best of luck to you, right? But really taking the time and investment to helping young people cultivate more self-awareness, but also like what their strengths are, their zone of genius, to allow them to pursue pathways that are going to honor who they are and some of those innate, but also like those skills that can be learned that can help them live fulfilling lives. So I feel like that would be one thing that really will help like build self-efficacy and other things as young people look to explore entrepreneurship.
No, definitely appreciate you sharing. I think life coaches and career coaches and professional development coaches, all of those types of people, even therapists, even act as all three or one at the time, you know? So I think that that has been helpful for me. And I think that some other people can definitely benefit as well. Michael, I know you had a couple of things.
Yeah, I just want to take it on a lighter note. How do you exercise like work-life balance? How do you find a way to let go? What are some of your hobbies? What do you enjoy doing outside of this purpose-driven career?
Yes. So one thing that's really important to me is making sure that I exercise virtually every day. So I'm a huge fan of Peloton. I use the Peloton app. As a matter of fact, before we had our interview, I got a workout in because that is very important to me. It's kind of funny because I've been working a lot lately and I actually I've made it a goal for like going to summer and the rest of the year to pursue hobbies more. So like part of that is taking cooking classes. Like, I grew up dancing. I was in dance company, like taking like dance classes again. So having more of the outlets than I did before, because between my full-time job, between like Venture for America, and an adjunct role that I have, like I've been working a lot lately. So being able to have some more of those outlets. And I will say, like, I'm someone who does a good Netflix and chill as well. So like, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but like I do watch a good series to unwind as well. And I, one of the things I've kind of, I want to get back into, I mentioned like reading books and personal development. I haven't been reading as much, but I've been listening to podcasts. So anyway, I'm someone, I'm like, I need to dive a little bit more into my hobbies so that I'm not just all work.
I would like to state for the record that podcasts are arguably the same as books. I'm just going to say it there.
Okay, that's fair. That's, I mean, I'm getting a lot of information from the podcast that I
Right.
me grow. But I'm like, oh, I have these books that I bought that I haven't read yet. And I do have an Audible, but I haven't, I've been more on that podcast tip. So anyway, they're like all, I have a whole list of things that I'm like, this is what I'm willing to do. This is the things I want to explore more to be just even more well-rounded.
No, that's great. I definitely think that that also, all the things that you mentioned, stress relief, personal enrichment, just, you know, just getting in tune back with what makes you happy at your core, I think is a good self-reset for a lot of entrepreneurs and just people in general. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just to speak towards what you've been doing outside of like the hobbies and like exploring yourself. Congrats on the recent funding. That was amazing.
Thank you. Yes, it was so rewarding. Like I worked so hard on that United Way pitch and everything. It was a great win. It was a great win.
Solid.
Awesome. Congrats. So thank you so much for your time. Again, how can people reach you? How can people support? Please, would love to hear.
Yeah, so social media-wise, you can find us at Fosterpreneurs with an S on Instagram and also on Twitter. LinkedIn, you can find us at Fosterpreneur. And then our website is fosterpreneur.org. And then if you want to directly email me, you can email me at erica@fosterpreneur.org. And that's E-R-I-C-A.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been an amazing, informative episode. Like you said, this is long coming from our conversation.
Well worth it. For sure. I appreciate you coming today, Erica, and sharing the knowledge, your background, your story with the people. And wish you all the best with Fosterpreneur and the impact that you're going to have in the future and that you're doing today. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. It was great just having this conversation with you. So, you know, down the line, I'll have some updates. So I hope this is not the last time.
No. I'm back. Yeah, we enjoy repeats. So, yeah. Sure. Thanks again, guys. This has been the end of the episode of Why Y'all Working. I'm one of your hosts, Lair J. Thank you, Erica, Michael. Take us away.